Everyone starts this event wide awake, so that's good. It's a real joy to be here. Our two daughters, Misty and Kim, both worked here at camp many, many years, and we're thankful for their work and not only the blessing they received for being here. Our son brought some cadets from the Air Force Academy, and I think that perhaps was the most disciplined boys' camp probably of those 49 years. So they had to be under commanders that week. So I'm the mellow one, so there's nothing like that. But this week we're going to, when the children are present, we're going to look at the amazing claims of the Lord. And we actually have some young people who are going to do a skit tonight. And depending upon whether Matt has a little video clip ready, we might start it. So I don't know whether you have that. Do we have that, Matt? What? Okay, well, what we're going to look at tonight is the claim the Lord made to a woman at Sychar's well. The woman at Sychar's well. And the offer he made to that lady. So we got a little bit, am I just too mellow? I can speak softer. So that is, that's it. And this clip just captures, I don't know, we could call it a testimonial from this lady. Do we have that ready to go, or should we go? We don't. Listen, hold it to the end, and kids, bring the skit. My wife did drama when she was in high school and college. And so young people this week, these are staffers. So thank you so much for doing that. Thank you for giving us a little introduction to John chapter 4. But young people, you can be involved. You can be on the stage and be involved. And I think about the fourth night, you'll need 20 youngsters. So we have something where all of you can be involved. Let's look in John chapter 4, and we'll read together the first 15 verses. John 4. Okay. I think we'll start with verse 4. But he needed to go through Samaria, So he came to a city of Sychar, which is called, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "Sir, I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband.' For you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. And this you spoke truly." May the Lord just add his blessing to that reading from his word. What a wonderful thing it is to have your thirst quenched, to have cold living water when you're thirsty and needing a good drink. And I like an invitation in the Old Testament, Isaiah 55. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Here and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you." My wife's grandfather, Lee Townsend, asked his pastor, "What did that passage mean? What was the prophet saying? What could he have been saying?" He didn't understand it. And this man, this was in a liberal church, he said, "Well, I don't understand it either." "I don't understand it either." Come to the waters. Come to the Lord. You know, we don't come to the Lord with our wealth, do we? You can't buy what he offers us. We don't come to him with our works. You can't earn his merit and his the gifts that he provides. And we certainly don't have to come and wait. He gives it freely. And so in verse 6 and 7 in Isaiah 55, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy on him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon." You know, the Lord not only invites us to himself to give us that which satisfies our inner hearts, but he calls us to do something too. He says, "You call upon the Lord, you seek the Lord, and you forsake your evil and seek him by faith. And what will happen is that you'll experience abundant forgiveness." That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? The end of this, he says that as the water and the rain come down, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. I've asked a good friend of mine once, and I said, "Do you think it's possible for a person to say, 'I have eternal life'?" And he said, "Oh, no. You couldn't say that. That would be presumptuous." And I said, "Well, you know, John the Apostle wrote this. He said, These things are written unto you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Whatever did he mean if you can't know that you have eternal life? Well, in our story tonight, we have a lady who perhaps, for a lot of different reasons, came alone during the hottest time of the day to draw water. And so she was out there alone. She thought she was alone, but there was one who came at that time and met her. He left Judea, and it says he must needs go through Samaria. There's something about the Lord's meeting people through a Gideon Bible or through another individual. We call them divine appointments. And this was a meeting that was planned by God for this lady. And so he came to her, and he made a simple request. He said, just give me a drink. Give me a drink. And she was puzzled by that. Perhaps she, because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half-breeds, half-Jew and half-something else. And that's another story, their history. But she was surprised by that. But then he just turned it around. He said, if you knew who it was that was asking you and what he was offering you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now she was puzzled. She was ignorant of two things. One, she didn't know about the one who was talking to her, her creator, her sustainer, her satisfier. You know, think of all the broken relationships this lady had. And here was one who put hearts together, talking to her. And I believe this, and oh, by the way, if the children get a little noisy tonight, at our chapel, we're overrun with children. So the Lord is teaching us great patience. And we just can handle that, and we're not rattled by it. In fact, I'm, as a grandfather type, I'm thrilled by all these little people. So it's okay. And someday they may become preachers or good singers. It's all ahead of them. And so she was puzzled by all of this. And she said, are you greater than our father Jacob? Well, I didn't think Jacob was such a great character anyway. But are you greater than Jacob? Well, who gave us this well? And yes, he was greater than Jacob, greater than Moses, greater than Abraham. In fact, he then said he promised that she would drink the living water. She would never thirst again. And I think that is the that's the verse, that's the thought that just had to be rolling around in her head. I have a little granddaughter, Naya Yost. And her mom and dad work with teens, and Misty and Don. And they had a young man talk to the teens one night, and the young man was saying, you know, as you talk to people, you will see people who have great needs in your world. And your job is to think like the Lord Jesus would have us think. Let not every man think on his own interests, but every man also on the interests of others. So Naya's 10 years old. She goes to a public school, and they're having a good day because they got to go outside to eat. They have lots of tables. And so she went out, and she saw this little girl over sitting at a table by herself alone. And she didn't recognize that girl. And so she decided, you know, think about what that man said, that young man said last night. I need to think about somebody else. That's what the Lord wants me to do. So she went over and sat down at the table, and she engaged this young lady. And she said, hi, I'm Naya Pagios. Who are you? And the girl told her. And then she said, well, what's up? And this young girl said, well, I'm usually not at this lunch period. But she said, my mom and dad have something going on today, and so I have to be here. And then I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, my mom and dad are in divorce court. That really bothers me. I hope it bothers you. The brokenness. Brokenness. Naya, like her mother, always had a word to say. She said, well, you know, that's a hard thing. But she said, you know, God loves you. And I can listen. I can listen. You can talk to me anytime. So that was that. She went home and asked her mom, how did I do? Well, her grandfather thought she did real well. You know, I thought she did just fine. You know, because isn't it a wonderful thing when somebody purposely comes and helps you out? That little girl needed a friend that day, and she got one. Well, this woman needed the friend of sinners that day, and she got one. The Lord came to her, and she said, give me that water. Isn't that a, don't you want people to say that today? Give me, Lord, what you have to offer. That's what I need. Of all the things in this world I need what you have to offer. Give me your best, Lord. Give me your water. And then she showed that she didn't really understand it, so I don't come here and drink anymore. And he then said to her, because, you know, whenever we deal with the Lord, we have to deal with our sin. He said, go call your husband. She said, well, you know, I have no husband. Then the Lord actually gave her a compliment. He said, you have rightly said you have no husband. Because you've had five husbands, and the man that you're living with right now is not your husband. Now, if somebody said that to you, and in that culture, how would he know that? This Jew, knowing about my life, knowing about all the broken relationships, all the pain. And I think, you know, in our culture today, people love to sin. In fact, I've had young people tell me, you know, sin is fun. It's a good thing to sin. I like to sin. And in that sense, I like to reject authority and do what I would like to do. And there are lots of things today that the Lord can use to convict people of sin. Certainly, breaking the Ten Commandments by the laws, the knowledge of sin. But I would say today, based on the many, many experiences that I've had in seeing broken relationships with all the divorces and as a school administrator, so many homes and so many young people in school struggling just to deal with life after mom and dad can't get along. I can say this, when a relationship is broken, and it's broken because somebody failed that relationship and they walked away from it, that's painful. And that truly gets to a person's heart. This is wrong. This hurts at a level I can't describe. And we recognize that behind life, relationships ought to last, shouldn't they? And when somebody pledges his love to you and then breaks his promises, walks away from you, breaks his word, breaks your heart, breaks your dreams, breaks your future, that hurts. That deeply hurts. And ultimately, sin leads to separation and a death of that relationship. So she'd experienced that five times. I don't know whether some of those men died or whether they were divorced or a combination. But she had lots of brokenness in her life. And now she stood before one who was there to heal hearts. Isn't that great? She was, and he purposely came. He had to go through Samaria. He was there to talk to her. Wonderful, isn't it? In her thinking, maybe she wasn't too desirable. In her thinking, she might have thought, well, who cares about me? In her thinking, she was a has-been, a no-one, not worthy of anyone's attention. And yet the Lord went to her. She had an empty bucket. And I thought, you know, what would she want in that bucket? I would think that she'd want some forgiveness and some cleansing. I think she would want some deep acceptance and happiness, a love that would last, a relationship that was meaningful. I think that she would love to sense that she could be secure in her love. I would also say that she was standing before one who could save her, that she could have salvation. You know, the Lord not only came, and he knows. Our God is all-knowing, isn't he? He came, he knows, but he also loves. And she had an insight of who this person was, and this progressed even further she talked to him about worship, and then she said in verse 25, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who's called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I that speak unto you am he. I'm the living water, but I am he. I believe that was a time when she trusted him. He made himself known to her. And she sensed, she had so many people perhaps who lied to her, but here was one who was speaking the truth. He had demonstrated that he knew. And so she trusted him. I am he. You know, I think that there's some people that need that. Who is this Jesus Christ? When Brian, my son, who is an Air Force guy, see an Air Force t-shirt, and he's in the Middle East, and he's gone into Jordan with the Syrian refugees, and he's taken blankets, and he's taken foodstuffs, and Brian is over there. And they come and they say, well, who are you and why are you doing this? And he said, well, I'm just a messenger of the living God. And I'm here because he loves you. They said, well, what do you want of us? He said, well, I want you to pray to the living God. And I want you to ask the living God, who is this Jesus? And what has he done for me? And they also have given out some New Testaments, whether it's Mark or the Gospel of John. Who is he? What has he done for you? Well, some of them have gotten saved. And I believe that some of them, the Lord has revealed himself. There's a verse that's another definition of sin. We don't usually think of it. It's in Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. They've dug their own cisterns, those stone casings that are used to hold water, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So we're thankful today that that lady met the Savior. And people need to meet the Savior, don't they? They need to get the best that he can offer to them, the living water. And I think we can learn some lessons here. The Lord took the initiative. Do you take the initiative to talk to people? She was a stranger. He made a request of her. He also made himself known to the poor. And he didn't show any partiality. I have a man who's been in prison who loves to hug me every time he sees me. His name is Richard, Mexican fellow. And I think the Savior inconvenienced himself to get next to this woman. There's a lady, we treat ourselves on Sunday morning. We have potluck at our chapel at every, it's kind of our tradition. We don't come back in the evening. We're out in the middle of the country. Potluck every Sunday, so we just work our ladies to death. But we have potluck every Sunday. And so I always take my wife out for bagels. We go to Bruegel's. I don't know where you like to go, but we go to Bruegel's. And there was a young lady on a Sunday morning who was just laboring on some study material there. Where Ames is where Iowa State University is located. And I said, oh, you've got a test in front of you. And she said, I do. And I said, are you prepared? She said, I'm working on it. I said, well, what's your major? And she said, well, psychology. So I said, well, why are you studying psychology? She said, because my dad is really troubled. He's got major depression. My mother has divorced him once, going to divorce him again. And he's not getting help from the people that are working with him. And my heart just goes out to my dad. And I said, well, what would you say? Here's what I said. I said, what's your name? She said, Megan. I said, Megan, you know, in our life, we have so many things that depress us, so many hard things where people can lose their focus, they're not connected anymore. So how do we deal with that? Hey, Megan, if you don't have a sense of God and a sense of immortality, indeed it's depressing, isn't it? You know, actually, that's why the Lord made himself known, so that we can know the living God. Does your father have purpose in life? Does he have hope beyond this life? And she said, no, he doesn't. I said, well, Megan, I carry these living water in my pocket. They're a little Gospel of John. I said, Megan, I want you to read this yourself. Read it at least 3 times. In addition to that, take this to your dad and read it to your dad. Just say, Dad, let's pray together. We want God to speak to us and heal our hearts. And I believe it's the Word of God, Megan. And you'll learn of the Lord Jesus who came to help us. In fact, the key verse in John's Gospel is at the end of it, John 20 says, these things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Is that right? I think I may have messed that up. It's pretty close, though. John 19, let's just look at it. And Russ didn't ask how old I was, but I'm a young 71-year-old guy. Truly, Jesus did many other signs in verse 30 in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You know, I trusted the Lord when I figured out that it was the truth. And I'll tell you about that some night, what happened, how I got saved. There's another scene in John's Gospel. It had to do with the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's still a big deal in Israel today. Kids love to go out in the tents because it celebrates the wilderness journey. So they get out in the tents, and the priests do something, and I just want to talk about this for a couple of minutes. They would take during this feast, they had a ceremony of carrying water from the pool of Siloam in a golden vessel to the temple and pouring it into a silver basin by the altar burnt offering. Then they would sing Psalms 113, 108 to 118, Hallel. And they'd remember God's wondrous gift of water given to them in the wilderness. Well, that last day of the feast, the Lord stood up, and in John 7 and verse 37 and 38, he says this, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink, and out of his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. Isn't that an amazing statement? And these Jews and those religious leaders and the people in that setting, what could he have said? What was he saying? Well, actually, the Jewish police, the temple police, or the synagogue police had been sent to arrest the Lord, and they went back and told the officials that they couldn't do it. And their words were simply this, no one ever spoke like this man spoke. We can say that's true. No one ever speaks like the Lord speaks. This is an astonishing statement. Imagine you or I making that kind of statement. Satisfying thirst, what does that mean? Well, Jesus was offering, I believe, what we need. People need today inner peace, don't they? So many don't have the peace of heart. They need certain hope beyond death. The Lord offers that. They need a sense of, a way of making sense out of trouble. The Lord offers that. They need love. We all need love. The Lord offers that. They need to know the secret of true happiness. I added 15 more things that we need. They need to know the truth about heaven and hell and how we can get there and know that. They need to know about joy that really lasts. They need to know security. They need to know freedom. Had some talks with some young men who've just been, they had addictions in their life. is it possible to have freedom? And I say, yes, it is. It says in John 8, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. People need significance today, too. How can my life be meaningful? They certainly long for justice. Can the Lord bring justice to this unjust world? Can they have a relationship with God? Can they know God who's faithful to them? Can they have their life connected to this one who gives them salvation, who brings security to them, and ultimately gives them a significance so that they know why they get up in the morning? Here's a job for me to do today. Well, the Bible says, yes, that can be. That can happen. And if I thought these young people did a nice job tonight on their skit, you know, life is choices. A lot of choices people make today. Like my wife, when she was unsaved, she would go to this church that she was part of and just go to the chapel and get down on her knees and pray. She was seeking. But people will come and seek. They seek for a lot of things. And the one drink, just actually, it can be addicting. There's many people today choose the drinks of this world that are addicting, that lead them further away from God. Others are just unsatisfying, like this one young man, just coming back again and again. It just does not satisfy. It doesn't meet our needs. But there's something about actually coming to Christ and knowing him personally, recognizing that he is God's anointed, recognizing that he is God manifest in the flesh. And so when he offers everlasting life and eternal life, we believe it. And we have to be like this woman who went back to this town and said, come meet a man who told me everything about me. And so they went out and listened to him. And at the end of that story, they said, we've heard him ourselves, and now we believe that he is the Savior of the world. Her testimony. And so we admit it, we believe on the Lord, and that we're willing to confess it, confessing before others. Young person tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus, have you confessed that to your friends? Have you spoken to them? So many, many hungry hearts today. People are very vocal and blatant about talking about sin and things that are despicable. Well, let's just man up and woman up and speak for the Lord. Speak for the Lord. We have we have lots of young people in our fellowship. And we have a boy by the name of Brian. Brian was a football player at his high school. But Brian just decided that he just wasn't going to go drink for the guys and do the rest. Well, I'm not talking about my Brian. I'm talking about another Brian. And he decided, it just came to him on with assurance that he had to stand for the Lord. And he needed some help to do that, and he did. And Brian had a testimony, another kid by the name of Lane, the same way. Young people who decided that they were going to be intentional, like the Lord is, and take this good news to somebody else. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord doesn't tell us to go out and witness. We're not witnessing in the sense that it's a verb, it's a noun. We are a witness by how we live and by what we say. What? Yeah, do you have the video clip? We got it. You will like this clip. My son sent it to me just to kind of up my understanding of this thing. What do I have to do? I don't know. Let's see it. I think we're going to get it moved. Good job. These young people They know just what to do.
In Samaria, he came to a town named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by the trip, sat down by the well. It was about noon.
That's all we want is just the, all I want is the testimony of the girl. It's the wrong deal.
Ask me for a drink. How can you ask me for a drink?
Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use.
Well, if you only knew what God gives, and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him. And he would give you a life-giving water.
Sir, you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water? It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well. He and his children and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?
Those who drink this water will get thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring, which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life.
Sir, give me that water. Then I will never be thirsty again. Nor will I have to come here to draw water.
Go and call your husband and come back.
I don't have a husband.
You are right when you say you don't have a husband. You have been married to 5 men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told me the truth.
I see you are a prophet, sir. My Samaritan ancestors worshipped God on this mountain. But you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we should worship God.
Believe me, woman. The time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know whom you worship. But we Jews know whom we worship because it is from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming. And is already here. When by the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as he really is, offering him the true worship that he wants. God is Spirit. And only by the power of his Spirit can people worship him as he really is.
I know that the Messiah will come. And when he comes, he will tell us everything.
I am he. I who am talking with you.
At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with them.
You know, that's a good clip, but that's not the one. But it's a, I've never seen that one, but that's a good one. You know, it's, maybe the clip can only be found in Iowa. So let's pray. Thank you, as well as the boys and girls. You did such a good job tonight. Just a wonderful job. Father, thank you for the stories that show us the heart of the Savior. We thank you, Lord, that in wonderful love you came for us as well. We thank you, Lord, that you know our needs and that our needs would mean that you would have to go to the cross and there you would lay down your life. We thank you that that was done once and that that work done because your heart was so committed to us and to our needs was sufficient to pay for all of our sins. We thank you tonight, Lord, that for all who turn to you by faith, you're the wonderful Savior that becomes their Savior. We thank you for this camp and for our time together. We pray for a safe time, a good time. We thank you, Father, for the young people. Pray that they will be mighty men and women for you, that they will stand up and speak for you, Lord, we pray. We ask this as we thank you for our coming together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, hey, just run this up to him.
Good evening. Welcome to Family Camp. I'm Mark Lightfoot, and I have the challenging task of subbing for Fred Scott tonight, so I'll try not to mess too many things up. If I get it wrong, Fred will sit back there going like this, and I'll correct it, you know. I need a chat up here, you know, with Steve Wilson doing that thing. Well, welcome, first of all. What am I doing wrong? Welcome, first of all, and like to just tell you a few things. We've got a few announcements to go through tonight. One thing is, if you're new here, there's a just to kind of tell you the difference between Ozark Family Camp and Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp. Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp is this facility that's used throughout the year. There is a completely separate group and organization and staff that runs Turkey Hill, and there's a lot of volunteer staff as well that are here throughout the summer. So Ozark Family Camp uses the facility here, and we're very grateful for the use of the facility for the next 3 weeks. There are volunteer staff members as well as permanent staff from Turkey Hill that will be helping us and helping meet our needs. So please thank them, and please pay attention to if they ask you to do something. Please give your attention to them, and we just appreciate them very much. So be aware that there's a separate facility here that we're using, and we're very grateful for that. If you do go into the kitchen to help, and as Randy was saying, and most of you know, there will be plenty of opportunities to serve each other and serve the Lord this week. So if you do go into the kitchen, there's a small sink just inside the left-hand door. Please wash your hands well before you go in there, dry them off, and observe that hygiene note there. Sue has asked, Sue Scott, Fred's wife, is the head cook this week, and she has asked for volunteers at each meal to come in about about 15 minutes ahead of time. She has several grandchildren here. I think you said 15 or something like that. So she would like to be able to sit down and eat with her grandchildren. So if she could get someone to let her know that they're going to be there about 15 minutes ahead of time, she can give them some instructions and help with that meal so that she can spend some time with her grandchildren. That would be great. The bunkhouse, that's the big facility down there where a lot of the teens stay. I stayed there as a teenager too, as many of you did, and well, that was an experience. You need to go in there. The dads, that is one of the points, is those are still your children. Please pop in down there, stick your head in, make sure everything's going okay. If it's your son or your daughter down there, make sure there's nothing growing on the walls or the floor or anything like that, you know, and you can still find them amidst all the junk in there. That would be good. But, you know, make sure that everything's going okay down there. Check on them every once in a while. That would be a good thing. They're still your kids. In the morning, we'll have the Lord's Supper in here, and we will be honored to come and worship the Lord in the morning and have the breaking of bread. And if you are someone who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you are certainly welcome to come and worship. The men will be welcome to participate audibly, and the ladies we would ask to worship in your hearts, and the Lord will certainly hear that and value that every bit as much as anything that is said verbally. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we would ask that you just watch and observe. And if you have questions, please feel free to get with one of us and ask anything that might come to mind that the Lord would bring to your heart. The offering in the morning at the breaking of bread will be for Bible Truth Fellowship, the organization that puts on these family camps, not for Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp. So if you write a check, please make that check out to Family Truth Bible Truth Fellowship, okay? And there will be instructions on the back. There's on the back of the schedule that will talk to you about that, okay? So if you have questions, look on the back of your schedule. And there are instructions about that. Jerry Harvey is hopefully here somewhere. There he is back there. Jerry's got a few things to tell us about.
All right. refresh my memory here. I've only done this 20 times. If you help tonight at the supper doing anything, thanks. It's always kind of a little bit hectic on Saturday nights, so we appreciate it, all your help. There are certain jobs, other than the ones that have already been mentioned this evening, that are done every meal, and we have sign-up sheets at the top of the steps on a bulletin board for those jobs, and you can sign up for them. And those jobs are serving the meal, helping wash the dishes, and helping clean up the dining hall. And there are three sign-up sheets up there right now. We're missing one, but after this meeting, there'll be a sign-up sheet for breakfast, lunch, and supper tomorrow. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so if you want to serve tomorrow, you need to sign up this evening, because they'll probably all be full. First time in history, but probably all be full by the end of this evening. And if you want to sign up for Monday, then after breakfast tomorrow, Monday's breakfast sign-up sheet will be up there. So after every meal, the sign-up sheet for the 24 hours ahead will be posted, and you can sign up for it then. Or if you want to sign up two or three days ahead and you bribe me enough, I might let you do that, okay? Or if you bring a big enough group and say, look, we want to do everything that meal or do all the cleanup that day, well, I'd probably let you do that too. Those sheets and those instructions that are posted there will give you a real good idea what you should be doing when, and you need to pay attention to that. Sign up more than once, especially if you are footloose and fancy-free. We like family groups to sign up together. If you have kids and you're worried about them being old enough to do certain things, there should be some instructions there. If you have questions, you can ask me or somebody else that's been around a while, and they can probably help you. And or as a parent, you can sign up with your smaller child for working, cleaning up in the dining hall, and we can probably accommodate that. Okay. There are the basic requirement for working in the kitchen is that you be 15 years old. And if you are serving a meal behind the counter, then you probably should be 4'6" tall. And if you don't know if you're that tall or not, ask your dad for a tape measure. If you're working in the dish room itself, I think the requirement is that you be 13 years old. If you're serving ice cream, you need to be strong enough to scoop frozen ice cream and tall enough to see in it to know what flavor it is. There will be some reserved tables, and there are, even for breakfast, some reserved tables, notably for the cooks and the servers and for the dish washing crew and the cleanup crew, the dining hall cleanup crew. And if you can sit there at those tables, it helps a little with the order of things. Those people for the dishes and cleanup normally eat at the beginning of the serving line so that they can get done and get to work. We have one change that we've made this year over years past, recent years anyway. We'd like to say that we'd be happy for any family group, particularly those with toddlers and little kids that they need help with, to have an assigned table. And we can make you a sign and put it on your table, and that will be your table. And